006, Thursday night. Chavos Halvodos, Shar Yichra Maisa, Perakei. Daf Kuf Pei Beis, the fourth line. Okay.
Last week we were talking about that the HR tries to put the person into development, that he wants covered, and that people will see him and emulate him. Do things, if not that people, not to find favor in the eyes of people, because he needs people, and people can help him get ahead, and give him a shteller, and whatever else that he's able to get from people. But our component people should emulate him and be aware that look at what a person can be, and look at what a person can do. So that's what we're up to. I want to say something, but someone asked me a question, and I think it's good to speak it out. Apparently I said a phrase last week, talking about a person's need for kavod, or a person wants kavod. So I said that it's an emotional need. In other words, because Allah presents it as a need apart from benefit. That if people hold of you, they'll do something for you. He presents it as a separate, just a need for recognition. A person wants recognition. He wants to be appreciated and recognized. So I guess I said it's an emotional need that's not a Torah value. So someone asked me afterwards, what emotional need is a Torah value? It was a good question, but the answer is also good. There are emotional needs that I could work on that you have to develop. If you have to develop, for example, a feeling of dependence on Hashem, so that's an emotional. You have to develop that emotional need. You have to a person, and it's not in any other context. It would be a destructive force. Because a person should always be confident. A person should learn Shari Yikana Maisa, in fact. And with the Chavis Halvavis, the Irishman's about, a few weeks ago, we learned about the emphasis on, you know, not being Goyer's people, essentially, or at least not being Goyer's them in the sense that their opinion will influence your decisions of what's right and wrong, of course, influence in the sense of arbitrary, not if they can convince you. But so a person should be independent. A person should always feel confident, independent. These are the way Akadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be: emotionally courageous, confident, independent. Oh, but the truth, but you have to develop a dependence on Hashem. Then it becomes a stira. A person wants to feel kochi rotzim yadi. A person wants to feel he's in control of his own destiny. It's emotionally, it's emotionally difficult for a person to feel that he's not in control of his own destiny. He's like a puppet. And he has to find favor in the eyes of Hashem, because Hashem controls everything about him. So that's, you have to develop that emotional need, but that's a Torah value, to feel that need. And that's why you daven properly. And that's why you walk around with Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. And a person really is supposed to always have that need. So that's an emotional need that is a Torah value. So then I was thinking also Akaras HaTov. How can you not think of Akaras HaTov when you're learning Akaras HaLovus? The basis. But I was thinking of not Akaras HaTov to the Eibishter. Even the obligation to feel Akaras HaTov to people, which is a primary, Sefer Akaras HaLovus, that it's a primary Bida, it's a primary, it's something that's considered a very basic Mida Tova. And a person that doesn't have that feeling when it's called for is really, because Al-Golas describes that person as a very base person. More base than a person that is Koes, and a person that is Al-Gaiva. A lot of Midas Rose out there, an Otsail. But the lack of Akaras HaTovah B'Chodos Al-Golas' book is the most mushchos, the biggest mushchos is a person that doesn't feel a feeling of Akaras HaTovah. But they really, that's an emotional need that you have to work on. Because again, someone does something for you, a person, the last thing in the world that a person, it's really when a person fights that. He doesn't want to feel obligated to someone else. He doesn't want to feel that he owes him something. It's hard. It's really, it goes against the grain of a person's emotional stability, I'll call it, emotional wholesomeness. It says that I owe you something. You did something for me, I owe you. Eben Leibel is Malka. And I always have to act. That's always a part of me. You want to cut it off. You want to repay the tithe. You want to get it out of your life. But really, so that's an emotional need. That's a Torah value. The Torah wants you to feel that's considered a mida tova ad lamo, that you feel kosher. But there's a mitzvah aliyo that says. Talks about how sometimes. What does he say? You do a favor for someone, he looks at it from the other perspective, from the bad perspective. But you do a person will do a favor for someone because he likes the idea that the person, and he goes, oh, that's what it is. So he talks about the phenomenon when you do a favor for someone and you don't want to let him thank you properly. Say like that. Like you don't want to accept his thanks graciously, or he wants to buy you a present. You know, he talks about that phenomenon. So you would think that's a great thing, you do something to someone. But he says that very often what's happening is that you like the idea that the person's always meshuggah to you. He says you like the idea that he owes you one, but you don't want to give him a chance like to escape from your clutches by thanking you, and then, okay, so thank you, or he repaid you in time, and you want to keep him for sugar. So that's, he's looking at it that way. I'm looking at it the other way, that the Chi of Akaras HaTovah from the perspective of the Makabel HaTovah is really, is an emotion, so that's what I thought of it, is an emotional need that's really a chisaro. In any other context, it would be considered a chisaro. That's why it's so hard. That's why it's so basic. That's why Elder Marisha, right? Elder Marisha, in his hate, in Kofri Tov, that was already mixed into the first hate. Even though it had nothing to do with the hate. But that's just kind of Kofri Tov when he said Aisha. Right away he showed those signs. Anyway, so there are emotional needs that are Torah values. So even though they are, a psychologist would call them weaknesses, but the Torah wants you to have these weaknesses in the proper place, in the proper time, directed at the proper, directed at Hashem. The truth is, Yiras Chait, could also be considered psychologically damaging. A person walks around always supposed to have a certain. You learn the Sils Hasharim about a Yirei Chait. He's always walking around. You're like, I've heard this tick. I don't mean physically. But he's always on guard. And it's not emotionally healthy, you would think. But it's a Torah value, and apparently it is emotionally healthy, or it's at least not emotionally damaging that we for sure believe. Yeah. Fit into what?
You mean you have the answer? Do you have the answer? The Torah wants you to get into?
It's a phenomenon. It's in Parshas Kiseita. You've obviously been chazer during the Parsha this week. You know, normally it's a phenomenon. That's all the Torah. Yerushal Sodaita Shalada. Normally, the Torah tells you to exercise self control. And in a few areas, one is maybe another example. The Torah says, I can't trust the person to control himself. I know it's too hard. He won't be only b'nisayon. You find such a phenomenon in the beginning of B'shalach. Below Nachama Lokim, Eretz Derech Eretz Plishim Kikarofu, because they wouldn't be only b'nisayon. There were plenty of times that they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim, but the Pshat is all those times they could have withstood the nisayon and they didn't. But apparently that nisayon Hashem felt they couldn't withstand. So it's a phenomenon. You have it in Shas also. You have by Chilos of Ainus, the Sefer Baratzon. You have a phenomenon that the Eitzah Hara just gets the better of a person. It's a lot of women being men, so and she could develop a Ratzon. And we look at the whole thing as Ainus. She couldn't help it. She couldn't control the Eitzah Hara. So sometimes it happens. Once in a while that happens. When can a person... The truth is, it might happen thousands of times in a person's life, except we never know about it. When you're standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and it's the Yom HaDin HaGadol, and Hashem is judging all your actions, so it's entirely possible that you have a whole slew of Averis, that the Eibishter will say, I know that this line was too hard for you, and you didn't have the capabilities of being Bocher B'Tov. And I didn't expect it to. I knew you couldn't do it. But that we never know. So we know about it selected times. We know about it by Tchilas of Linus to say the Ratzon. We know about it by Eishas Yifas Tolar. It's like the Torah gives us a glimpse once in a while that Yitaka can't control yourself. Of course, sometimes you can't control yourself, but it's the product of the last 6 years of your life. The person, that'll probably have to answer for. I say probably because I'm not the final judge. But let me just finish the thought. A person never learns Musar and never works on himself and never exercises his muscle of self-control. So he might be an Einus when something happens. But Abish is not going to say he's an Einus. Abish is going to say, my good friend, where were you for the last 5 years working on self-control? And therefore, you would have been able to withstand this Nisoy. Don't come crying to me now that you couldn't do. Sure, you couldn't do. But you have to answer for the build-up. You didn't prepare yourself.
Yeah. What I just said is that it's possible the times where you, after 120, you'll find out that these Nisoy, you weren't expecting to stand up. Right?
I wouldn't. Why couldn't there be such a phenomenon?
Because we've always been taught that you're never given an assignment that you can't perform correctly.
As a general rule, it's true. It's true 90% of the time.
It's not absolute. You can't rely on a rule. If you know that you always have the strength to say no, then you always try.
No, because I also made the point that you never know, so you also have to try your utmost. What's my point in saying so? Maybe my point in saying so is that you shouldn't get depressed if you fail. Maybe you couldn't. It's really semantics. How do you know it was a Messiah? Maybe it's something that happened to you. And maybe David should. Maybe it happened. It wasn't an assignment that you failed. Maybe it happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe a person can chalila break a leg or break an arm. A person can do an embarrassment. I don't want to push this line of thought because there's no purpose to it. Because a person always has to feel the way you say. And he was given the sign that he could. But sometimes, historically, sometimes the confluence of events is that, you get like different Turkey and you say, by the Asia Shifas Torah, the Torah says, Torah says, it's possible, this is a possible, You just can't withstand it as science. I'm going to maneuver that it shouldn't be an Aveda. Okay, anyway, what was I talking about? The emotional need, that's a Torah value. That's the point. Okay, let's start from the top line of Kuf Pei Beis. So you should tell the Yetzirah of Matoi Lein Tilos B'nei Adam Li V'davrim Tov Olai. Adarav, it's depressing when people praise me because I know how little I deserve it. I know what I do 24 hours a day. So people praise me because they see me for 3 minutes and I look great, but I know what I'm doing 24 hours a day. So it's not emotionally satisfying to me when people praise me. Adarav, you should tell the Yetzirah, it's rather depressing. If you diosi, because I did. Like it's ashes. Someone who praises you for something you know that's not so, so you don't feel good. You shouldn't feel good. A normal person, you should feel embarrassed. You should want to tell them the truth. Embarrassed to do that. Right? And then, the Chavdalovus really says something that he shouldn't be saying, but I think he's giving us an insight. What do I mean? In the first paragraph he talked about the person that does things because it'll gain him. He'll gain things from it. And he's supposed to develop his bitachon that a person can't do anything for him nor harm him. Then he shifts into paragraph 2, the next toy of the Eitzara, just the satisfaction and the emotional satisfaction of having people hold of him, just that itself. But here he says in the second line, "The Gamayo Ilaini, you should tell the Yetzirah, what good will it do me? Kapto the Akramoti, then the other Mayachilos the Holy, they are not capable of helping people. On the Salik Nezik be many." So I think he's giving us an insight that perhaps deep down, I don't know, an aspect of. I don't know if that's the whole. If they ask me, you have to think about it. You have to read books on it. He's from the psychologist. It sounds like he's saying that there's at least one aspect of the emotional need for recognition and kavod that always comes from the fact that you're going to get ahead because people hold of me, so they will therefore now XYZ offer me a job, do this for me. Like it always comes from that. So if you tell the Yetzirah and your machazik, even though the Yetzirah just praised you in the poetry, the prose of the Chayyus Havavas, the Yetzirah praises him to the skies for being a Baal Bitachon, and he says, and let people know about what a big Baal Bitachon you are. So then he says here that you should turn around and say, people, like your machazik, the Bitachon angle, and you reiterate that people can't harm you or help you. It's not up to them. It's not them that's doing it. The Hare in Erkam Muzes, so their evaluation of me is not worth anything to me. It's like the evaluation of a Tzomeach and a Chai. If an animal holds of me, what do I gain out of it? I'll build the Ogem. So, I don't know. He seems to be saying that. He's giving the Yetzirah many answers. At least some people, maybe Pshat's different people are different. To some people, the emotional satisfaction will always be based on the fact that person can affect your life. And if you're really, really strong that the person can't affect your life, you won't find his praise emotionally satisfying either. That's what he seems to be saying. Maybe HVH. Maybe that's what some people, it will be true. That was the whole point of the second paragraph, though. That's why it's so weird that he should use this as an argument. Okay, then he turns around with another thing. He says, you know something? He says, guess what? Most people who do things because they want people to recognize them and to hold them, people make fun of them. People are not so stupid. People see through you right away, and they see you doing things to covet. So I'll tell the Yetzirah, I'll get bizyanis from it. I won't get covered. If you want me to do things for covered, I'll end up getting bizyanis. B'shem lo eskel kachrim ne'odom kasher asine matras ma'asai v'yale alibom. Maybe they'll get smart for a few moments and they'll chap shani machnev b'ma'asai. that I'm only doing it so they should see and give me kavod. Oh boy, then not only won't I get kavod, I think that's almost pushup shot in Kalag Bereach, you know, whoever chases after cover the covered barachas commander. I think the almost the pushup shot is because people make fun of it. The Nimsus, he says, I'm Kariach, so tell the Yitzhar, I'm Kariach Mikan, the Kariach Mikan. I didn't do a good mitzvah. I messed it up because my purpose was to get kavod, and I didn't even get the kavod. So that's a good answer for the Yitzhar too. I'm giving you different counterattacks to the Yitzhar. So there's this counterattack. I'll end up with nothing. The Nimsus, Shem Sadni Maisar, I won't get out of Habba, out of my Maisim. But it's not a pure ma'aser by associating hamatorabo shelo l'shem shemayim, and I'm out of oil ma'bo, but I tussically boy tikvasi from the other oil ma'zer. So that would be pretty silly of me to put myself in such a situation. The Omer la'achat hasorim is an apocryphal story, I guess it was. Heich motzachem beinecha kriyas ploni. Who the other person says whether he landed in the Torah. He was a Balkari. Huoya Balkor, he had a beautiful voice. Wasn't he great? Yodea Nagain, and he knew all the Trump perfectly. Wasn't he great? Well, Beis Kriyasu HaTorah. Omar, he says, Heich Tetzachem Be'emai. So the Melech says, or the Sar says, how could I have enjoyed it? Kriyas Misha'en Okori also. It was like, so obvious, so clear, maybe from his body language, maybe from the way he looked around after laning, waiting for the Ashkayas to come pouring in. How could I enjoy the laning? So the Melech was saying, how can I, it's true, he laned beautifully, and everything was great, he davened beautifully, and everything was great, but how can I enjoy listening? How can I hold of it? Heich Tetzachem Be'emai. Like I keep seeing a guy that's just waiting for the Ashikoyats, Mishaina Koryosa, Elkade Limso Chain Bainai. That he's waiting for me to say, great job. So it's counterproductive. The Melech says, how can I enjoy it? How can I hold of it? How can I give him a Yashikoyat when I know that it's degrading? Degrading, it cheapens the whole thing. Like that's what you're doing it for. You're doing such a so. Achoisa moitzes chen be'enai ilu neskadim bo rotzim Hashem yisalim b'lebad. If he would have, this is very hard. Someone asked me about this. The truth is, it's something to discuss with every bal kairi, with every bal tefila. It's a very big nisayon. It's maybe harder than the whole davening. Even beyond this, the davening is hard, physically hard. Just, you know, like you say, blowing shofar. You got to know how to do it. So that's hard. It's very hard to daven, especially Yom Le'Ron. It's hard. Then it's hard to do the Shulchan Aruch, to meet the Shulchan Aruch's requirements. But the Chayim HaVavos is raising the bar. And he's saying, look what a Nisayon every such person has. On one hand, he has to daven the lane beautifully and do a great job and inspire people and make them cry and make them inspired and make them feel that's the Chazan's job. The Baal Kari has to make people enjoy the lane, maybe even add an element of understanding the words. If they flow, and there was a Balkari very about them, like my yeshiva, it was like a balabus that lay every week. It's the Sidney Phillips on the Mashal. I don't know why, it's a Chanka Chemeter about them. I don't know why. He had no shaykhus at all intellectually to what was going on in the yeshiva. He just totally was mabatal himself. He said, here's a gadol. As a Rosh Hashiva, I see Torah Lishma. He was like a regular, like had no shaykhis, he was an Amoritz. And I don't know, it was like amazing to us. how he couldn't gain anything until he fell on the pencil. A little off topic here. Anyway, he lamed. And you could, he lamed with such emotion in his voice. He kept to the truck, but you could like follow the story. He was like, it would be like a happy lilt to his voice when good things were happening. Sadness when bad things were happening, and excitement when it was exciting, and drama when there was drama, and it was just a wonderful experience. He learned all the years I was in yeshiva. The truth is, this one guy in my kollel, Rav Avi kollel, who learns like that also. He moved there to Israel, and he's living in a vayaka. Maybe I'll have him come once for Shabbos to me. Be a guest laner. You'll hear such a laning. So you could do it with laning too. But getting back to the chayus, I guess you could do it. I don't know. It has to be natural. I don't think you can learn how to do such a thing. It's like the trope. It's just a very wonderful experience. Anyway, so getting back to the chayus halvavus, he really raises the bar. And he makes it very hard, because on one hand you have to do it, and you're expected to do it. And you have to just walk that tightrope. The truth is, it's not just a chazan or a balkari. A rabbi gives a good speech, you know, a knakadikat rosha. I know when I'm giving a knakadikat rosha. And, you know, you enjoy it. You do. There's no question. But it's a big tightrope you have to walk. You have to walk the tightrope that year. You have to do a fantastic job. And your purpose has to be to inspire people and to sing beautifully and to make them understand the words, and that's Kabbalah Hashem and Migroncha. And you have to do it. You can't shy away if you're capable of doing it. So that's you have to do it. It's a gift Hashem gave you, and you have to use it. But you have to walk the tightrope of not enjoying it, I don't know what word to use, not taking pleasure in the fact that people will hold of you, will compliment you, will think highly of you. That's what he said. You just have to do that. It's a tremendous assignment. You have to do everything you would do and just think you're doing it so that people, why are you doing this? Why are you davening so beautifully and singing good nigunim? You're doing it so that people should daven better. Because that's what happens. If you're a good bal tefillah, people get into the davening. It's not just yom merom, you know. I already Kabbalah Shabbos. It can be done in a way that would really make people excited that Shabbos is coming in. That's how Kabbalah Shabbos should be davened. It should excite people. Shabbos Malkus. You're supposed to. You know how the Rambam describes? When the Rambam describes when they went out to the fields and they welcomed Shabbos, right? Bo Ichala, Bo Ichala. You know, you're like sitting in anticipation. You're supposed to be excited. You really are. That's the Rambam's description. The Gemara, the Rambam's description. Anyway, this is the Chazan supposed to do that. The Chazan is supposed to make people either excited or happy or sad. Make them tremble. A chazan says in the Sana Tekev, he has to do that. And so it's a tremendous disorder. That's what he's saying here. And if he does it, but you can tell, then that's the worst part. You can tell. And then Ram said, I said this many times, I'll say it again. Chazal ruined everything when they said that the Kol HaBerech, the sofa covered love. So they ruined everything by saying the sofa covered love. Like if they would have said sofa covered love, so you try. You try to do things lishma. But like they made it impossible. What did they do that for? They made it impossible by saying the sofa covered love. Now what are you supposed to do? They promised you you'll get covered also at the end of the day. So now you're supposed to do it without doing it for the kavo. And they're sitting there telling you you'll get covered. I don't know. To me, it's like they ruined it. They made it impossible. To a normal person, Okay, I don't know. I say it jocularly, but I don't know. Why would they say that? So the Chovas HaLevavos, before he started this whole rap, said, and we didn't get to the answer yet, Hashem likes people to have kavod. Hashem wants good people to have kavod. That's one of the enticements of the Yetzer. It's good to have kavod. It's one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like a Navi is supposed to be an Oshir and a Gibor and a this and a that and have all those qualities. So the kavod is one of those qualities, the Yetzer tells the person. So there's an answer. But maybe that's the chat. Because outside the Zohar Kabbalah, level, because to let you, but they made it psychologically very hard. Al Kaponim, that's what he's saying it's Nikar, so the Melech can tell, so it's counterproductive, so everybody can tell. So I don't know if everybody can tell, maybe you need a discerning eye to tell. Al Kaponim, the bottom line is that you have to do everything and you have to be Meschaven, that your purpose and goal is that people should daven better, that people should listen to laning better, they should appreciate laning better. If it's a speech, your goal has to be that people should be inspired, learn something that they didn't know before, and act upon that knowledge. That is to learn something that they didn't know before and give them a way to act upon their knowledge. That's the goal. And you have to not feel good that you did a good job. Or, I don't know, very, very odd. You have to at least not have that. You know what? Let's say it this way. At least that shouldn't be a goal of yours. You'll feel good that you did a good job. But at least that shouldn't be the goal. The goal shouldn't be that people will honor you for doing a good job. The goal shouldn't be that people should appreciate the good job you did. It's not the goal. The goal has to be what you're doing. So that's what he's saying. What? Yeah, that's why I changed it to at least that shouldn't be your goal. I guess a person is allowed to feel good that he did a good job. To feel a sense of fulfillment, to feel a sense. But the good job is that he made people daven better. Not that he showed what a good chazan is.